Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. Please turn with me in your Bible to the letter to the Ephesians. We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 15, 16, and 17. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. We're going to be talking about the nature of wisdom and how the Apostle Paul was using that to motivate the believers in Ephesus to being godly men and women. Would you please follow along with me as we read God's holy word? It's Ephesians chapter 5. I'll start reading in verse 15. Brothers and sisters, hear the word of the Lord. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Well, may the Lord truly be praised through the proclamation of his word. My friends, in the last weeks, we've been looking at the Apostle Paul attempting to encourage and motivate the believers. We saw in the first verses of Ephesians 5 where he talked about to motivate them that judgment will be coming. There will be a judgment. There will be an evaluation of the unbeliever and the believer. We also saw, as in last week, where he encouraged the believers to walk spiritually in the light of God's holy word. And today, he is going to use the idea of we can do that wisely. And he's going to contrast the difference between the non-believer, whom we talk about as the earth dweller, and how they use earthly wisdom, but they do not use godly biblical truths for their wisdom for living their daily lives. So as we have been looking at in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, every believer is being admonished to a walk in the love of the Lord, by being introduced through the Word of God and to be an imitator, therefore, of God, and being careful how you spiritually walk in the spiritual light. Over the last weeks, we've been looking at the do's and don'ts of Christian walking in the Lord, like don't be angry with other believers, don't steal from one another, don't lie to one another. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind using the Word of God. Speak edifying words to one another. And then it goes on to be imitators of God. Walk in love of the Lord and one another. And don't grieve the Holy Spirit. These are all things that we've been looking at over the last weeks. And in particular, last week, we looked at walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that is the one who shines his truth and light upon us. And as the Apostle Paul ended last week about walking in the light, he used the words in Ephesians 5:14 saying, wake up, O sleeper, arise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. You can picture that. I don't know about you guys. I get up in the morning and it's like I roll out of bed. I don't hop out of bed. I roll out of bed. And it's like, come on, you're trying to come to. And just you slap water on your face or jump in the shower or something. You're trying to come to have your senses. And so we need to walk in the spiritual light of God's holy word. We are the children of God. We are the children of light. God's light shines through us now into darkness. The darkness is not talking about how bright the sun is. We're talking about how the non-believers do not have a clue of how to please the Lord. And we're going to be looking at that through these verses. And so now as the Apostle Paul goes on to encourage the believers to be spiritually wise and being able to distinguish between what is spiritually enlightened and what is spiritually in darkness. This is the contrast. He's going to give you a positive and a negative. And so I believe that we're going to look at in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, it goes to speaking about us being spiritually wise. Now, the word wisdom here in the Hebrew is sakal, S-A-K-A-L, sakal. And the word means prudent, comprehend, or discern. Makes sense, doesn't it? You're going to discern, is this something that's good or if it's of good value to you? The Greek word is sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S, and it means skilled. You're skilled in something. Are you skilled in using the Word of God as a tool, as a help, to help you to discern right from wrong, good from evil? What is pleasing to the Lord, what is not pleasing to the Lord? Are you skilled in it? Or are you still a rookie or an amateur? And so we are to be spiritually wise, skilled in the Word of God. So notice with me in Ephesians chapter 5 and what verse 15 tells us. Here's what Paul was talking about with wisdom now. He's trying to motivate his friends in Ephesus to now be spiritually wise. So listen what he says. Verse 15, Ephesians 5, 15. Look carefully then how to walk not as unwise, but as wise. How skilled are you? The Apostle Paul was attempting to motivate his friends and helping them to have a deeper relationship and a more intimate relationship with the Lord. Though they might be able to evaluate the difference between what is pleasing and what is not pleasing, walking in the light or walking in the darkness. By reminding his friends back in Ephesus, God is holy, God judges all of us, that'll be the just and the unjust, he'll evaluate us, and God is going to have something to say about that, which we can find in Matthew 24, when all of us will stand before the judgment seat. And every believer needs to be spiritually wise right now, knowing right from wrong for what he has already talked about being motivated in the first part of Ephesians 5. And Paul went on to remind the believers that they are now the spiritual light in this world of darkness, following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ himself said he was this. And if you need it, it's John chapter 8 and verse 12 tells us this. And Jesus is speaking, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you hear what Christ was saying to his friends, the apostles? I am the light. You follow me. And if you're following me, you're walking in the light. And you have become light. Because now, as you and I talk with friends and loved ones and coworkers, and we are using the truth, we are going to be in conflict with them, as into a spiritual relationship with the Lord. Because what we are actually doing is we're shining the light on their incorrect and inaccurate ideas, which means they may not like us. Because what we did is we exposed them for being wrong. And I don't know many of us who want to be told we're wrong. And so, now as new covenant believers walking in the light of the Lord, every believer, you are that spiritual light that is in the world of darkness. You are part of the family of God. So what does that mean? You're a family member with the Father in heaven. You're a child of God. And each of us now need to walk in spiritual wisdom, knowing that truth, using the Word of God as our guide. That is why I believe the Apostle Paul goes on to direct the believers towards spiritual wisdom in the next verses. And notice, again, I believe his desire is to motivate them, not to degrade his brothers and sisters in Christ, but to motivate them. You're more than what you think you are. You're now part of the family of God. And you are able to wisely please the Lord, because now, because you're using the Word of God, you know right from wrong. What God says is right, and what God says is wrong. And so that's why he says, walk spiritually wise instead of unwise. So what is biblical wisdom? Where does it start? What's your foundational cornerstone for that you build on? And the helpful verse is in the Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. It's a short verse, and I'll read it. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Proverbs 1:17. That's where it starts. That's the cornerstone. And that simply means you know who God is. That would include he's the creator, he's the sustainer, he's the redeemer, and all those truths that build on that. I think of it this way. This is the personal side from John. I realize I'm not the final answer in things, and I know I'm outclassed, and I'm in over my head. And that is before the face of God. All of us have been in a place or a situation where you went, oh no, this is not going to work, and you know you're outclassed. You know something is wrong. And what do? You say, can I back out of this? Can I get out of here? Well, what has happened is, do you think that way when you're standing before the face of God? Is that how you think, that you're outclassed? But when we're a family member, you're in. And so here he is saying, are you and I applying the Word of God to yourself so that you will be pleasing to the Lord? Will it change your mind, and will it go to your soul so that you actually are confident, no matter how bad the flood may be and get up around you, that you're going to stick with it? Now, the non-believer can mimic being loving, and he can be kind. He can be socially kind and loving and be helpful, but he is unable to spiritually apply that to his own life. And I'll ask the question, why? How come he can be a kind person but not be pleasing to the Lord? Well, he is not discerning spiritual truths. He's using social things to be kind, but that doesn't mean he's doing the things that God is saying is appropriate and right. Is he able to discern carefully spiritual truths? No, he's not able to do that. He is not able to walk in that because he is a non-believer. So this is where you and I need to consider what the idea of being unwise is all about. And that's verse 15, Ephesians 5:15 says, look carefully now how you walk, not as unwise. And all of us know the world has wisdom. As believers, we consider the earth dwellers wise in things like mathematics. We think they're wise in philosophy. We think they're wise in medicine. We think them as in engineering or education. And all of these are actually very desirable traits, and there is no sin in them. But what they are missing is the spiritual wisdom from the Word of God. They do not know the Creator of the world. They do not believe He even exists. They believe it is just a good story that people use to comfort themselves. The earth dweller cannot understand spiritual truth, even if they try, because they are it's a spiritual battle going on, which Satan has blinded their eyes and the unbeliever does not see. For those of you, I'm going to ask you to please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Here the Apostle Paul is talking with believers on the other side of Ephesus, across the sea in Greece, in the city of Corinth. And so he is addressing this concern with friends that are in Corinth about now having or no spiritual wisdom. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul's talking to the believers over there and talking about the problems that the believers are facing when talking to non-believers. And notice what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and starting in verse 3. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world," you can scribble in there in little print, "Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Satan is active, and he is blinding them from seeing the truth. Paul is saying that is why when you're talking with a friend or a loved one and you're sharing with them something and they go, okay, John, thank you, and they're not listening, they have been blinded. It's being done intentionally. And so the non-believer doesn't have any spiritual insight. They are not only they are not working with the facts that are at hand. And they do not understand us when we say that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do they physically hear the words? Yes, but it has no depth, no meaning behind it. You see, they are the ones who are really close-minded. They will accuse you and me of being close-minded and saying, well, you don't know, you're only thinking of this. No. They are close-minded. They really don't see all of the extra truth and information that is there. They are not looking into spiritual insight because Satan continues to blind their minds from the spiritual truth, as Paul just told us in 2 Corinthians 4. And that is why the scriptures call the non-believers foolish. Why? Because they do not consider the word of God as valuable. They see it only as myths and legends, which some Christians or people who call themselves Christians, they comfort themselves with it. But when you read passages like Psalms 14:1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds, and there is no one good. So if a person hears the word of God, they will deny the word of God, and it will be evidenced by their actions and the vocabulary they have. Remember, men are born what? We're born spiritually dead in our trespasses, in our sins, which also means then we are also born spiritually foolish. We are unwise scripturally. I want to read a verse that backs this up out of Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. This was a concern that Paul had with his friends and believers in Rome So he starts right out talking about this concern. Well, what about my uncle? What about my wife? What about my kids? What about... And so this is what he's doing. He's helping to understand this. In Romans chapter 1, and one, actually you can read Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, and it's his whole start. But listen what he says in Romans chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. For even though they knew God, who's he talking about? Who's the they? They knew God. It was Israel coming out of Egypt. They knew God, that God was delivering them. They did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. They professed to be wise and they became fools. Well, I'm going to ask you what happened over those years while they were wandering in the wilderness. How many people who were delivered out of Egypt entered into the promised land? Thank you. Two. They all died in the wilderness. For those who were 20 years old, from newbies to 20-year-olds, they did enter into the promised land. But everybody else, only two. Why? Because of their foolish speculations. They didn't believe in God. A whole nation of people. Imagine that. And here Paul is calling it out. Are we listening? No matter how much education a person has, it is only folly or foolishness to the Lord, because it is not a matter of information. It's about a personal relationship. You having a personal relationship with the Lord. Isn't that amazing? So passages like Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge accessible, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. The unregenerate man or woman is spiritually a fool. They are unwise. When he or she denies the Lord in their unbelief, when he or she denies God in their daily life, when a person denies the Lord, they are unwittingly saying, they don't know they're saying this, I am God. I know better than what God knows. Now, would they say they are a God? No, but that's what they're saying. I'm ruling my life, and no one else is going to rule over me. Scripturally, that makes you a fool, because you're mocking everything about God, and you're saying that you never sin. You're never going against God. Isn't that amazing? Because they make up their own rules. They're making up their own laws. They're making up their own ideas. You see, they are condemning themselves. They're blinded by Satan, and they're condemning themselves. They were born in sin, and therefore they were born spiritually unwise. And they affect everyone around them. And how so? The non-believer will pass on his ungodly ways to his children. He will pass on his ungodly ways to other people in his life. That may be to friends. That may be to co-workers. And everyone within his sphere of influence. Spiritual foolishness comes from trusting purely in human knowledge, well, excluding divine spiritual knowledge. They rely on their experience in the world. They do not rely on the Word of God. The natural man suffers from an inherent, non-existent, spiritually foolish mind and heart. They have inherited a foolish mind from their parent. You see, we do not submit to God. He cannot accumulate vast... Now, can he accumulate vast knowledge about some biblical truth? Well, yes. And what did we know about the Pharisees and the Sadducees of Israel, who had memorized massive amount of scripture, but yet they were not godly men? Because you have a head full of knowledge doesn't make you godly. You need to bow the knee to it and apply it wisely to your life. Spiritual understanding and divine wisdom eludes the non-believer. And he hates the truth. And the reason why he hates the truth is it exposes him for what he really is. And it points out that he is wrong. And many of us do not want to be pointed out in public that we are wrong. Well, notice again what spiritual wisdom is. I'll read verse 15, Ephesians 5:15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The word skilled. Walk in a skilled manner. When I was still doing electrical, I was required to use my trade in a skillful way, following the codes that were required by the National Electrical Code. And I had to apply them to different circumstances and different situations so that I didn't burn the building down. How well do you and I know the word so that we can do it correctly? And that's what it is. Can you and I use it in a skilled manner? As a believer, we have become spiritually wise, skilled using the Word of God. Our eyes have been spiritually opened to the truth by the Holy Spirit, and our eyes will continue to be opened to spiritual truth. As believers, we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shining upon us, making us aware of who we believe in, and that we are now the children of light. We are sharing the good news to whom is whatever in our sphere of people we talk with, and are friends with or work with. And as believers, we have the third person of the Trinity who indwells you. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God as you spend time with Him in the Word, either reading it or listening to it, and then applying it to your everyday life. All believers, their eyes have been open to spiritual wisdom. And we no longer can claim being spiritually naive. We can no longer say, I'm inexperienced. I'm no longer immature. I'm no longer an adolescent. My favorite saying was, I can't be a rookie after all these years. You see, all of us now have been transferred into the family. We are to be a godly man, be a godly woman, and we are to look carefully into the truth so that we will know what is the correct thing to do and how to apply it in our daily lives. And since the Holy Spirit is indwelling you, He is leading you and guiding you into all truth. And as I've encouraged each of you throughout the years, the third person of the Trinity can't fail. We may fight against it and not want to follow it because, I don't really like that. But He is going to press and continue pressing until you finally go, all right. And then you learn how to be obedient and be that child of light in that area. He has given you the spiritual knowledge and the spiritual tools to be skilled and know Him. The problem that you and I see is this, in comparison, the black and white contrast. When you and I see other people who do not have the Word of God, what are they doing? They're searching for something. That's why there are so many different religions in the world today. They are all guessing at what is religious and what might be pleasing to some other power. Something maybe beyond their imagination. And we were talking with some friends the other night, and we were talking about some people have crystals now, that you can buy crystals online. Do you know they help you to be more spiritual? They come up with stuff in their own imagination. Are they sincere? And my mind goes, yeah, but they're sincerely wrong. And then when you press them with the Word of God, they're going, no, 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 no. Why? Because it demands of them to bow the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and start following Him, which they do not want to do. The more you and I spend time in the Word, the more spiritual wisdom you and I are able to glean from God's Word, causing us to have a greater value before the face of God. He sees you as an obedient child. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. And He's causing you and me to be wiser as we spend time before Him, reading His Word and getting to know Him. So as you and I spend more time there, we are growing in grace and growing in the knowledge of our Lord. Now, this caused me to ask these questions. I have some concerns. Some believers do not make the time daily to be in the Word of God. And my mind says, yeah, they're on a spiritual diet. They're starving themselves of the blessings and the nourishment that's there. And then there are many who read the Word of God like a novel, and they do not think about what it really means or meditate on the truths that it is speaking about, so that they might glean the blessings that are in that passage, in that word, so that they might be strengthened and encouraged. That comes from that passage. They read the story, Moses wandering in the wilderness. Man, I wonder how many tents he had. Did he have a lot of sheep? Did he go next to that water hole? It's nothing about that. But that's what people will do. It's like, oh, no, they missed it. You see, that means that that believer is truly unequipped for the spiritual battle ahead. Possibly stumbling and trying to learn more, but failing and coming to the point when something goes like, what went wrong? How come this went wrong? Why me? Well, those kind of things push us that we should be going to the Lord. Instead of saying, why me? It's like, why not me? The Lord is testing me. He's putting me to the test to showing me that I am true. I am truly a godly man. I am truly a godly woman. But our mind is all about self-centered little me. And so, in verses Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, Paul says, take advantage of this. Listen to what he says again. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And then verse 16, make the best use of the time, because the day is evil. My friends, we are here at WBC. Are we wisely using our time? Are we wisely putting in our efforts? Are we wisely, skillfully discerning what we should be doing? Because the days are evil that we're living in. All the generations of people before us were living in an evil world, in the darkness. And we've been called out of it. They had to live godly lives through it. We have to live godly lives through it. And so verse 17 tells us this, Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, now that you know this, do not be foolish. but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I'm going to ask you guys to do something with me. I'm going to read three different passages. And for those of you who scribble down notes, I'm going to end with these three passages, reading on it. It's Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. I'm going to read that. Then I'm going to go to James chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And then I'm going to read 2 Peter 3. So these are three places I'm going to go, and then I'm going to end with that. And I believe this is a summary of what we were talking about. That's why I'll leave you with listening to Scripture. So the first one I'm reading is Colossians chapter 3, and I'm going to start reading chapter 1, verse 9. So hear how Paul talks with a sister city right next door to Ephesus on Colossae. And here's Paul. It's Colossians 1, 9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. So that's something we should be doing, isn't it? Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So this is his prayer for his friends in Colossae. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, Colossians 1:11, may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance, because you're in this world of darkness, patience while you're going through your tribulations, and joy because you're following the will of God. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You're now qualified to enter into the family of God. You're in the family of God. So here's the Apostle Paul encouraging the believers to wisely be in prayer, just like him. And then these were the things he mentioned, so that the saints would be filled with biblical knowledge, so that they would be filled with spiritual wisdom, so that they would be filled with spiritual understanding, so that they would walk spiritually in a manner worthy of the Lord, so that they would be pleasing to the Lord, so that they would bear fruit in every good work in the Lord, so that they would have spiritual endurance while you're going through this world of darkness, that you would have patience and a joy, so that we would be qualified to inherit the kingdom of God. That was what he was praying for. And that's what wisdom brings you. You understand this. You start to see this and you're going, hey, this makes sense. Notice what the brother, or James, the brother of Jesus, says. And it's James chapter 1. And I'll read verses 4 and 5. James speaks about this idea of spiritual wisdom. Notice what he says, James chapter 1 and verse 4. And let steadfastness have its full effect. He's talking about wisdom. Now that you're steadfast, wisely make decisions, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And then verse 5, and if any one of you lacks wisdom, skill, discernment, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. Isn't that amazing? He says, go before the throne of grace. Lord, please help me to understand how I should respond. And what does that mean then? Practically, that means that now you and I will turn, we'll go home, we'll sit in our living room, we pull out our Bible, and we start reading through passages that talk about how I should respond to the situation I had a problem with today. If it's that coworker that has a potty mouth, what do you do? I've done things like some guys that were on my softball team, and I go, now, do you talk like that in front of your grandkids? And then they'll give me some blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, this stuff starts fading away. Not that moment, but in the days and the weeks ahead, all of a sudden, it's like, you know, pastor's over there. And it starts fading away. I become salt. Now, I don't have to start a fist fight with the guy. I just start pointing out stuff. Is that what you do in front of your grandkids? It isn't right here either. It's just capturing the moment, being wise, using the moment. But if you're in the Word of God, it comes to you because you're filling your mind with the right thing to say. Notice with me 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. These are the very last words we get out of the Apostle Peter. The very last words we hear from him. 2 Peter chapter 3. It's verses 17 and 18. Listen to what he says. The very last phrasing out of his mouth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing of this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people. Earth dwellers, non-believers, and lose your stability. He's talking about being steadfast. Are you being steadfast in your faithfulness? And the word steadfast actually means you have a confidence in your mind. It's wisdom. You're confident in your mind that what you learned from the Word of God is true and it won't fail you. And you wisely use it. That's the steadfastness he's talking about. That's your stability. That you may be a godly man and a godly woman right while you're in that workplace when you got some individual that, man, his vocabulary is just a mixture of 10 different words. None of them good. But it goes on to say in verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the end of eternity. And he ends with amen. That's you. That's me. That you and I grow in the grace of our Lord. That we wisely, we steadfastly hold to those truths. We apply them day in and day out. And my friends, let's listen to what these men have said, what these godly men have said who have gone on before us. And I like verse 16, and back in the Ephesians, it ends with, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Let's close in prayer. Our Father, thank you for the few moments we've had this morning where we were able to spend time in your word before the face of God. You know us better than we know ourselves. I ask, Father, that your Spirit would continue to remain faithful, leading us, guiding us, teaching us all that is needed so that we will be spiritually wise and be able to take what the world throws at us and their wisdom, and we will be able to answer where they are in darkness. They are in need in the same way we were in need before you redeemed us. May we be that light that shines into their life. May your word touch their hearts. May you lead us and guide us into being pleasing in your sight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. And thank you for the fellowship of the saints. And we praise you and thank you for it all. In Christ's holy name, amen.